Good morning.
Good morning.
Happy Father's Day. I'm so excited to be here. First of all, I'm really excited that the Warriors are world champions. Yes. But the more important reason that I'm more excited is I get to do a talk on Father's Day. And that, to me, expresses my spiritual growth. And that's what this talk is all about. It's about spiritual growth. I'm going to focus a little bit, because it is Father's Day, I'm going to use Father's Day as a kind of an example to show what spiritual growth can do for us. See, it's exciting to me because I grew up in a family with a rage-filled alcoholic father. And the first 40 years of my life, it was really confusing going to church and seeing that all these wonderful Father's Day expressions going on. And not that I don't, I know it's out there. I know that that stuff is out there. I know there are wonderful fathers who are loving and caring and see people for who they are, but I didn't have that experience, right? And then I'm told that I couldn't get angry at God, you know, the Father. And then I was told in my house that I can't get angry at my father. And he would do these things that would make me angry. So then I just, it really messed me up. Just put it that way. But the spiritual growth is that I can stand here and talk about this without any resentment, without holding any ill will, because my spiritual growth has brought me to the place where I understand who my father really is. He's a spiritual being. And he was put on this planet to deal with his stuff. And unfortunately for me, I don't know what happened with him spiritual-wise, but for me and my family, it didn't work out really well because he couldn't move past the pain that he brought from his childhood. Right? But he was a better father than the father he had. So he did grow. So spiritual growth. You know, sometimes we have these little spurts and then we have these big spurts, right? So a little spurt for me was when I worked at Cal and I worked at the 7-Eleven for scientists. Really. So if a scientist needed an enzyme or a test tube, they'd run down to our stock room and buy it. Right? Like, just like you would buy a quart of milk if you needed a quart of milk. One day, this lab technician came in 5 minutes before closing and said, I need to spend $1,000 on my grant or I'm going to lose this money. So we sat down and we figured out what he could buy for $1,000, different products and stuff. And he left and I closed the door and I realized how good I was at my job because I was creative. I was able to put an order together for him under that pressure, right? So that was a little bit, I didn't know it was God then, but it was cool. And then a big one is what I just spoke about my father. You know, and I was able to be at his deathbed and thank him. You know, and that's just real growth. You know? And so we've been talking about the five principles, right? And so today we're talking about the fifth principle, which is expressing God or knowing that we are the expression of God, right? So has everybody read this book, The Fifth Principles? If you haven't read it, do yourself a favor and read it because this really explains our path, our unity movement path, and it explains it in today's language, not from the 19th or the early 20th century, not even from the 70s. I love Eric Butterworth. He's in the 70s, and even his language sometimes gets old. But this is really clear and concise, and it really has some humility in there. This is where we're kind of studying from. And she says about the five principles, or she is Ellen Debenport. That's the author. And she says, the five principles provide steps to lead us from ego to soul, from living unconsciously to living in the awareness of truth. Our work is to learn how to wield our spiritual tools in our human experience. And so she has some questions here for the four principles, the first four principles. So the first principle is God is all. And her question is, or do we should ask ourselves, do I affirm divine intelligence and love in this situation? Right? In other words, do we know that God is everywhere present in that situation and everyone in that situation? The next principle is we are God. And the question to ask ourselves is, do I remember my own divinity and that of the others involved? Right? So to not only look in the mirror and say, I am God, but to look at other people and say, you are God. And then the third principle is kind of the tricky one for most of us. It's co-creating with God. And the question is, do I take responsibility for attracting this situation into my experience and know that its outcome for me will match my thoughts and feelings about it, right? So this wonderful path we're on tells us we are responsible for not only the world within us, but the world we are in around us. And then the fourth one is commune with God, or otherwise known as prayer and meditation. And the question there is, have I aligned myself with God and the universe, the good, and received guidance before I act? Okay, so we just did that together, right? We just communed with God. So whatever happened when you opened your eyes and it said Happy Father's Day, and you closed your eyes and you took that into silence with you, that was the truth. Those feelings you received around Happy Father's Day, that was the truth, because you were in communication with God, in commune with God. So as we said, the fifth principle is expressing God. Don't you love it when you get to watch people grow? Right? If you're a dad and a mom, an aunt, an uncle, a friend, don't you love it when you see a child get it, when a child has an aha moment? Well, our duty, I like to say duty, our duty here is to get that excited when we have those aha moments, right? Because we deserve to give that to ourselves as much as we give it to other people. I owe this 9:30 service an apology. I think I do. And this is why. When I spoke last time, I told everybody that I was a stutterer. And we showed that clip from the King's Speech. And I told everybody that I had overcome that. And some of you clapped and cheered. And I just passed right through it. I didn't acknowledge it. It's because I had an agenda. Right? Because I had three other people that I wanted to show you as an example of the Christ potential within us. But what I didn't acknowledge is that because I was able to express my expression of God, and you guys saw it, and you guys clapped, and I just went right through it. Right? Because, so, thank you. Yeah, it was really tough letting go of my stuttering, right? It's even, I don't know if you know it, but just like 5 seconds ago I stuttered. Did anybody know that? No? Yeah, so, but I knew it. But I'm able to move through it. And so when people see those kinds of examples from us, that's expressing God. And when we don't let them see that, then we're not giving them the gift of ourselves, which is really powerful, because you're a real gift, right? Can I get a yo, bro?
Yo, bro.
Can I get a yo, bro?
Yo, bro?
All right, so you're a gift. We got that, okay. So I wanted to use an example, since it's Father's Day, I wanted to use an example for me. So I told you about my home. Do you remember Leave It to Beaver? Okay, so Leave It to Beaver, I watched religiously. Leave It to Beaver was a sitcom about the Cleavers. Ward and June were the parents, and Wally, who was the coolest, oldest brother that could ever live, and little Beaver, who was kind of a dork. Well, they made him that way. Anyways, so Wally and Beaver are hanging out in their room one afternoon, and Ward, the father, comes in, and he's got a pedometer. Do you know what a pedometer is? It tells you how far you walked. Today, they call them Fitbits, and they tell you how many steps you walked, and you wear it like jewelry. Yeah. So Ward comes in with his pedometer, and he wants to give it to one of his boys to share it because he really liked it when he was a kid, right? And he said he walked 20 miles a day, 10 miles to school and 10 miles back from school. Now, he was enjoying a dad's right to exaggerate, right? But Beaver didn't know that. So Beaver took the pedometer and took it to school the next day and bragged that his father walked 20 miles a day. And all the other kids laughed at him and said, oh, your dad's blowing smoke. All right? So Beaver bet one of his friends his baseball that he could walk 20 miles. And they took this bet, and Beaver and his best bud, Larry, walked for hours and hours and hours and walked 4 miles. So Beaver lost his baseball mitt, and he was angry, and he was really, really upset. So Ward comes home, and June, if you want to know a story about June's pearls, come and see me after the service, because what wife vacuums and pumps in the flowing dress and pearls, all right? You do? Okay. But anyways, so Ward goes to see why Beaver's all upset. And Beaver says, I'm really mad, and he's tearing up papers at the end of the bed. And Ward says, well, I'm sorry you're mad. Let's go play catch. And Beaver said, why did you say a mean thing like that? And he ran in the bathroom and slammed the door. And Ward let him have his feelings and walked out of the room. And so when they got downstairs, Wally told him the truth, and that he was mad, Beaver was mad at his father because he lost the bet. And you know what Ward did? He got humble, and he walked upstairs, and he sat Beaver down, and he apologized, and he said, I'm sorry for exaggerating. And Beaver said, why did you do that? And he said, because I wanted you to be proud of me, and I wanted you to be as excited about the pedometer as I have. And so the next day, Ward went out and bought him a baseball mitt. And he gave him the baseball mitt, and he said, now, Beaver, don't ever bet your baseball mitt ever again. Right? So that stuck with me. Right? Because the first thing Ward did is he got humble. Right? Well, no, actually, the second thing. The first thing he did was he let Beaver have his emotions. Right? And so when a father is spiritually growing, he's able to separate himself out from his child and then let his child be that child and let him have his own emotions. And he even let Beaver be mad at him and know that it's not about who Ward is, right? About who is, right? Then he had the humility enough to go up and say, I'm sorry, right? And then he could explain that he wanted Beaver to be proud of him. Then he went out and bought Beaver a mitt because he took responsibility for part of that situation. And then he told Beaver not to do it again. That was all teaching, right? And that was Ward expressing God. Now, I know it's a TV show, but some writer wrote that episode. So somebody felt that message came through somebody, and that person was expressing God. And he just got to let millions of people know what he was thinking through a sitcom, right? So when we do that, when When a father does that, that's what Happy Father's Day is all about. Right? And if you received it from your dad, wow, congratulations. That is really cool. That's just a wonderful gift. And the other thing I wanted to acknowledge what I called the father's wound. So I explained what it was like with my dad. And that's what I call the father's wound. And so when I showed that slide and I talked about the feelings coming up and I talked about if those feelings brought anger and resentment or hurt or confusion, it's because I know everybody didn't have that loving father, right? Now, it's not black or white. It's not that you either have a totally loving father and a totally not loving father. My dad couldn't really be a dad, but he knew he had responsibility for his family. So we had a home. We never missed a meal. We went on family vacations. We had a couple cars. He gave me one when I turned 16. I mean, those things he could do. It was the being present and not being able to let the family be who they are, right? He needed love and attention because he couldn't give that to himself, right? And I can say that today in front of people and be okay with it and know that there are people who have this wonderful father, and then there are people who have this father wound. And sometimes it's just a nick, and sometimes it's really, really deep. And when it comes to spiritual growth, if you have that father wound, or if you have any wound from any time in your life at all, we get to look at what the truth is. Right? And the truth is that we are an expression of divine source. Now, the fifth principle is at the end, because we can't express divine source without doing the first four, right? And the first four, some people may not think they're action because we don't express it physically in our world, but the first four are preparing us to express God, right? I mean, first of all, we have to believe that there is a divine source, right? We have to believe that there is something in us and all around us that helps us become the, not helps us, that's the wrong word, that gives us the spiritual powers to become the person who we are. Or more to the truth, the spiritual being expressing through our physical bodies. So, and everybody's expression is different. So I've been preparing for this talk for about a month, because like I said, I'm really excited about it, and I get to talk about this. So I get in my car this morning, and I have to prepare to talk about God in front of people. So I have to do, right? Be silent and let God flow through me. I turn the car on and the Doobie Brothers are on the radio. Right? And I love the Doobie Brothers. They bring me joy. And I said, okay, this is okay. I'll let this go. And then the next one, it's going to be a peaceful little tune. And it was AC/DC. And then the next tune was Montrose. And then the next tune was Led Zeppelin. And I'm hitting the button. I got to find a peaceful song here. And then Eddie Money came on. Life Is for Taking. I don't know if you know it. But it's got one of my favorite guitar solos that go on for about 2 or 3 minutes. And I said, all right, God, if you want me to prepare with rock and roll, I'll do it. And I got here, and I sat out in the parking lot at our church, so to speak, and I sat there and rocked out for a couple minutes to Jimmy Lyons because it filled my heart, right? That's expressing who I am individually. You know, maybe some people who stand here and talk on Sundays need to be quiet and need to reflect, you know. And I had done all that already. I was ready to rock and roll. I didn't know it, but I was ready to rock and roll, right? And so that's where these five principles bring us, you know. And not only that, we can use these five principles in every situation we ever go through, right? Because the wonderful thing about being human is that we're never done, right? I mentioned this the last time we talked. One of the most wisdom words my older brother ever gave me, he said, the best thing about being young is you don't know anything, right? Then you get to learn stuff. And so as we spiritually grow, if we use these four principles, if we know that there is a divine source, if we know that we are that divine source, if we know that we are co-creators and we're not victims. Patti Page had a song out in the 70s, it was a big hit, called "Is That All There Is?" And she talked about all these wonderful situations that she went through when she was a child and a teenager, and all these wonder, like going to the circus and going to Disneyland, seeing a movie, and at the end of it, she'd say, is that all there is? No, that isn't all there is, right? And so we get to use these five principles. If we're confused about something or something just doesn't feel right, we can go right to the source. And if you practice these, I read this the other day, it was really cool. When we do spiritual growth, when we use these five principles, we are practicing the presence of God. Right? So, I'm stuck. I'm so excited. So the presence of God is always with us. When we express it, we are practicing that. We are allowing God, divine source, to flow through us and for it to do what it wants to do through us. And we get to express that in any way you want to. Whether it's Beethoven or Vince Gill or Led Zeppelin or whatever. Right? It's who you are. And when you don't do that, like I said at the beginning, then you don't give us the opportunity of the gifts that you have, to receive the gifts that you have. So, that's the truth. That's the wholeness of it. And so I want to say happy Father's Day from the bottom of my heart. You know, and the really cool thing is now I get to see my dad as a spiritual person, which I had not been able to do before I started preparing for this talk. So thank you for being here, because you have helped me move another step closer to who my dad is. So happy Father's Day.